Thanks, Don, for those songs. Want to welcome everybody that's here tonight. We'd like to welcome Jay. He's visiting with us tonight, his first time. Want to welcome the people that are tuning in on the Facebook live stream. If you would, turn in your Bibles in the Old Testament to Joshua, the fourth chapter. We're going to be taking our lesson from Joshua, the fourth chapter tonight. Last week, or the last time I had the opportunity to deliver the Sunday evening lesson, we looked at Joshua, the third chapter, and in that chapter, the Israelites had crossed over the Jordan. Just to kind of get us up to speed, it's amazing. Well, it's not really amazing. Once you realize that God is in control, it's not a shock. But how God's people wound up in Egypt in the first place due to famine, and how they then evolved into being slaves, and they were enslaved and in bondage in Egypt for over 400 years, and then how God chose Moses to get them out of Egypt. And he led them out of Egypt, the plagues, Pharaoh's army after them, parting of the Red Sea, all that. And then they wandered in the wilderness. And I tell you, it would be very similar to, you know, going out here in Clark County, that region of the world, walking around in the desert for 40 years. Moses dies. He takes the natural outcome that man takes. The great Moses even dies. And now Joshua is in charge of the Israelites. They have wandered in the desert, in the wilderness for 40 years. They are crossing into the promised land that had been promised them, had been given them by God, and they've crossed the Jordan. That's where we're at. And in Joshua, the fourth chapter, starting in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe." I find this interesting. We as people, this is not a psychology lesson, but we as people need to be heard. God, in his infinite wisdom, told Joshua, you take a man from each of the 12 tribes, where the people at large will feel they're represented, where they feel that they can have a part in this themselves. One man from every tribe. Verse 3, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priests' feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. We as Christians today, God has given us a lot of leeway on what to do, how to do it. But there are some things he's been very specific. He was very specific that he wants us to worship, remember the Lord's Supper, every first day of the week. What time? How long are worshiping? He leaves up to us. But there are some things he is specific about. God was very specific. You appoint one man from each of the 12 tribes. That is exactly what Joshua did. I don't know, and it sure the text sure doesn't reveal how he chose those people. I trust that he did it in the proper way. But he chose one man from every tribe. What about me? What about us, the women? Why not the women? Well, God didn't say that. Is it discriminatory? No. God told Joshua, pick one man from each of the tribes. And he did it God's way. Verse 5, and Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. God, in his infinite wisdom, knew that others would ask, what are these stones for? And he wanted them to have an answer. And Mark mentioned with the Lord's Supper, that is one of those memorials. That is one of those things that God wants us to remember. Jesus said, not only in Luke 22, but also it's recounted by Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 about the Lord's Supper, that when you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Do it in my memory. These stones were for that very reason, so that the future generations would know this was what happened here. The mighty hand of God stopped the Jordan River. And our people, your great-great-grandpa, crossed over. And this might be years later. But that's what God wanted, was for each generation to perpetually teach the others. Just like Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, where he says, you teach capable men that are capable of teaching others. And you keep this going. And it's been kept going to this day. We think of the Passover, that it was a memorial. They were to remember that yearly, the great event of the Passover when they left Egypt. Verse 8, and the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded. Those few words there say an awful lot. And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded. It doesn't say they did the things that were convenient. Oh, these stones are pretty heavy. Could you imagine Joshua appointing the 12 men? Daryl, I need you. You're representing your tribe. Go pick up a stone. I've had a long day. It's hot out here. I've had a long day. Sorry, pick somebody else. Preston, I need you to represent your tribe. Go get you a stone. You know I got a bad back, Joshua. the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded. How important is that for us today? Just as the Lord told Joshua, they did it. And took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. So the priests who bore the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hurried and crossed over. Then it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over, that the Ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in the presence of the people. And the men of Reuben, the men of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh crossed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 prepared for war crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. A couple of things struck me about that. That the men of Reuben, the men of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they cross over before the people. They are armed, ready for battle. What an inspiring thing it must have been to the Israelites to realize we're not just weak sheep. Our armed men are going before us. They will protect us. They will, between them and God's own hand, we've got this. But not only the inspiration to the people, it also gives the point to me, just because God did this great event of stopping the Jordan River in the presence of these people, it doesn't mean that they're not going to have to fight for the promised land. It's not just... It is going to be given to them. God already said it's going to be yours. But you have to do something. You're not just going to sit back and it's going to be delivered at your feet. You're going to have to fight. You're going to win because I'm directing things. But you're going to have to fight for it. And they crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. Verse 14, on that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. That word fear, we sometimes, words like fear, love, we sometimes overuse those words. Or we get in a rut of maybe what it means. Fear doesn't mean that the people cowered in fear and were scared of Moses, or excuse me, of Joshua, like they had Moses. It was a respectful awe. It was a respect. An earned respect, like we have for God. We fear Him because we know what He's capable of. But we respect Him. We love Him. I feared the results if I disobeyed my parents. I didn't fear my parents. I feared the results if I didn't. Because I knew I could be capable of getting in trouble, of whatever. But it was a respectful, reverent love. And that's this kind of fear that the people of Israel respected. They feared Joshua as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. Both of them had earned it. Verse 15, then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, command the priest who bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priest, saying, come up from the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come up from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet touched dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. It wasn't over until they had all crossed. They were in that together as a body of people. It wasn't an attitude of every man for themselves. That's the church. We are a body. We are in it together, and we are more important than I. And that it was God. God had done it. There was no mistake. Who did it? Did Joshua do it? Joshua didn't do it. Did these mighty men of war, the 40,000, do it? No. It was God that had done it. Verse 19. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. And they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. That is so important for us to remember God's blessings on our life. You know, and I'm not criticizing this, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't say this, but when we pray individually or as a body, dear God, thank you for our blessings. How about getting specific? When we go to God in prayer, personally, how about specifically? God wanted them, the Israelites, to remember specifically this blessing. To mention it by name. That when the children ask, that they can be told to tell others about the blessings that God tells them. Peter addresses that in 1 Peter 3:15, where it says, always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The same concept was found back here in Joshua. To when your children ask you to have an answer for them. When our children ask us, why do we take a piece of cracker and grape juice, that we can explain to them why that is. When children ask, when people are baptized, why does that take place? Why do we do what we do? One, we need to know to be able to tell others, but also for ourselves to know why we do it instead of just being sheep. Instead of just, well, we do it because that's what people do. Why? Because the Bible says to do it. Going on into verse 23. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. This event wasn't just for the people of Israel. The questions our children ask us isn't just for us. It is for that all the peoples of the earth may know. That's one of the ways we teach. The ripple effect, that they may know why we do the things that we do. It's not tradition. It's not because five people got together and decided we're going to do it that way. It's because it's the Word of God. The lesson is yours. The next time I have the opportunity, we're going to go into Joshua, the fifth chapter. We're going to look at Joshua, the fifth chapter. If you need to respond to the invitation through prayers, through repenting of sin in your life, if you need to put on your Lord in baptism, whatever your need, please come forward as we stand and sing.